on 1116 SEN. Hungry for Sport with Kevin Bartlett for Penfold Mazda. Celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family. And Flex Vehicle Management Service. Find out more at flexvs.com.
9:07, good morning and welcome to the program. As a member of Carlton, I'm not confident tonight. I'm worried our leading goal kicker from last year in Jared Waite is not in the goal square. He booted 38 goals and is lining up for North Melbourne. Jeff Garlett is not there as well. Club's leading goal kicker with 43 in 2013. He's playing for Melbourne. And in 2012, Eddie Betts topped the goal kicking with 41 goals. He's at Adelaide. Why did we let them go? How can we kick goals? Now I'm told Andrew Walker, our leading goal shooter from 2011, is crook and won't play. And what? Cruiser is out as well? Give me a break. As a commentator, the thing I enjoyed most of all last season was screaming out, Casbolt! And he hasn't got a game. Hate to say it, but the Tigers will whack us by 102 points. I'm KB. That's my take.
Now back to Ellis again. He sends a high ball, a long ball. Might sail through. It's there! Rowe didn't get his hand to it. He's kicked the goal.
Comes Martin's way. Just burst his way through. Used his Roebuck strength and rams it through. What a start for the Tigers.
And that one was against Hampson. It's going to Warnock.
I know. Does he kick it?
Yep.
So Warnock comes in 45 metres out directly in front of the big fella. You put it out in the full. Probing kick, needs a mark. Oh, doing the roving work. Garlett! Garlett runs it around, but Garlett hits the post! Hit the bottom of the post.
Go the air, son. Edwards has spilled it. He stuffed it up in the pocket. And it's taken away, but not for long. Vickery, did he mark it? He's kicked the goal! Chaos reigns at the MCG. It'll come to the back of the pack. Untied legs, Foley will give it to Thomas. Thomas will kick it into the 50 for Richmond. Deep as Dustin Martin. It'll bounce to the back. Dusty will pick it up. Dusty will turn him inside out. Dusty will kick a goal. Dusty, Dusty, Dusty. One massive collective sigh of relief around the MCG. A yellow and black sigh of relief. The Tigers are home.
Well, it's the first round of the footy tonight. What are you expecting tonight? Who's going to win and why and by how much? Fev, of course, is going to hand that ball over to the umpires tonight. The hovercraft is going to be there. Captain Carlton's going to be there. The light show's going to be there. The fireworks are going to be there. 9429 1116 is our famous talkback number. 0433 98 1116 if you want to send through an SMS. If you want to tweet at KevinBartlett29 or Hungry for Sport. Coming up, Greg Venom Denham is about to join us, taking your calls on all things sport. You can always set the sporting agenda, what's on your mind. Frank Panisi will join us from the Melbourne Storm. Brendan Gale, we had Stephen Trigg on the other day, the CEO of Carlton. Brendan Gale, the CEO of the Tigers, will join us out of the 10 o'clock news as well. Rodney Hogg will join us, and then the Buzz, Johnny Ralph, taking your calls with his famous three stings. But coming up, Greg Venom Denham.
All we're worried about is moving forward. You know, we've got a tough first 4 weeks that we'll go through, and we'll, you know, the competition's going to be fierce this year. I think there's a lot of sides are capable of winning a lot of football games. So, you know, for us, it's just all about concentrating on that round one Thursday night game versus Carlton, which for us, we're looking forward to.
It's a good feel. It's a nervous feel. It's like you wake up and open up the, unzip the tent, look out, and there's the mountain right in front of you, and you think, this is what we're here for, to climb it. So that's a terrific feel. It's an adrenaline rush already, and I don't know, I can't really answer for the players, but they look like, the way I see it, they're feeling good about themselves and they want to get out there.
There's Mick Malthouse and Damien Hardwick as we welcome the great man, Greg Venom Denham. G'day, Greg.
KB, how are you? Look, I don't know the last time when Mick unzipped a tent, unless he's got one on his East Melbourne penthouse roof, but... I guess that what the both coaches are saying...
It's a figure of speech, Greg.
I know. I'm taking it. But I think that they're just saying what we're all... It's just so exciting. We're finally here, 4 days after a World Cup final at the MCG, 93,000 people, and we're playing footy. I think it's absolutely sensational. Very funny take by you. Very, very funny. I don't think the Carlton people will appreciate it. They'll appreciate that you put your money in and became a member there.
Well, serious, Greg.
I don't think they'll appreciate that. 102 points is probably a little bit rich. It's a really interesting... You know, this game last year was played in round two and was only a two-goal result. your way to the Tigers. And I think the two players that didn't play in that game last year that were missed, sadly, are going to probably be the keys tonight. And I think Ivan Matic, who missed the first eight games last year, is absolutely... Gee, he might have a birthday tonight, leaving out Casbolt, no Warnock, no Cruiser. Boy, he's going to ruck against Cameron Wood and probably Sam Rowe. So I think that Marich is an absolute key. And, of course, Chris Judd didn't play last year for some time because of his Achilles. So really interesting. Round one, probably not a true reflection of what we're going to see in the normal season. There'll be plenty of nerves out there, plenty of skill errors, but bring it on.
I want to hear from Carlton and Richmond fans and all footy fans who must be excited about the opening game of the season as well, because one of the other questions I want to ask you is which side can't afford to lose the opening game? Which team do you think just can't afford to lose the opening game of the season? I know it's a marathon, it's not a sprint, but which side can't afford to lose the opening game of the season? 9-4-2-9-11-16. Now, Greg... and also, I want to ask the Carlton Richmond fans, have a look at the lineups in the paper today and tell us, has your club nailed the lineup? Who should be in? Who should be out? Are you happy with the team that's been picked for the opening game of the season? Because, Greg, those who listen to this program would know that you know a lot about the Carlton Football Club.
Warnock, certainly a chance not to play. Walker obviously had those knee injuries, Kev. And I think the likes at Carlton, you're probably going to see Christian Jack. Liam Jones, now would you ever thought in your wildest dreams, particularly after watching games last year, that Liam Jones would probably get a gig over Levi Casbolt?
Well, you picked that. I didn't believe you when you said that Levi Casbolt wouldn't get a game in the opening game of the season. Liam Jones would nudge him out. But the Carlton selectors have gone with Liam Jones to play his first game for the Blues from the Doggies. And Casbolt, who was the star last year, hero of all the Carlton fans last year.
Casbolt! Casbolt! Casbolt!
That's Johnny Ralph, who loved Levi Casbolt last year. And the buzz will join us after 11 o'clock today. But I just wonder whether Carlton fans are surprised that Levi Casbolt hasn't got a gig.
Well, as I mentioned last week, I think obviously the pre-season Liam Jones has impressed Carlton more than Casbolt. Look, Jones has got a lot to prove. There's been lots of words written about him in today's paper. I hope for his sake that he has improved. Casbolt played 19 games last year, twice kick bags of four goals. Probably, I would have thought, would have been a big enough guy to go into the ruck against Marich, but they've elected not to. So that's going to be really interesting, I reckon, tonight, that particular part of the game. I'm not at Carlton every day, just because we're members, Kev. We're not there every day to watch training, etc., and watch all the pre-season stuff. So obviously, they've pinned their faith in Jones ahead of the big boy.
Well, I'd like Carlton fans to tell us their thoughts on that, because I think last year most people thought Levi Casbolt was the future of Carlton, particularly up forward, and maybe as that second ruckman as well. Showed, as you say, a fair amount last year, kicking a couple of bags of goals for the Blues. Tyron Vickery is an emergency for the Tigers.
What do you think of that?
Ben Griffiths last year, they went with Ben Griffiths last year into the final series as well, when Tyron was available after being suspended. Held that spot down right throughout the finals, and obviously has done enough during the pre-season to again have the confidence of the selectors. So that's a good battle for Tyrone to get back into the side. Just shows you how strong the Tigers are at the moment, that they've got so many players fighting for a position that Tyrone Vickery can't get a gig in the opening game of the season.
Do you reckon he
Taylor Hunt gets a game for the Tigers, and Camden McIntosh plays his first game for the Tigers as well, who been on the list for about 3 years.
Do you reckon Vickery still regrets hitting Dean Cox last year, because he has not had a look in ever since that fateful night?
Well, I think he's on record as saying that at the time. That
just goes to show one act of stupidity can cost you dearly for a long, long time.
And the Blues, of course, Clem Smith will play his first game for Carlton. Christian Jacks, I should say.
Hasn't he got the most unfortunate name? I mean, honestly, who? Christian Jacks. It's his surname's just short of meaning nothing. Christian Jacks.
What does that mean?
Oh, sorry. You're really slow off the mark today, Kevin. I'm trying to be funny.
and very good. And Liam Jones comes into the side as well. So that's the new guys for the Carlton Football Club. So if you'd like to make a comment about that, if you're bagging for the Tigers or you're bagging for the Blues, how excited you are tonight, who's going to win and why, give us your thoughts, who's going to win and why.
who's the strengths, what's the weaknesses, and is that the side you would have picked for the opening game of the season? Joe joins us in Laverton. G'day, Joey.
Kev, how you going?
Joe, going great.
Very funny. Very funny, being a Carlton member now, Kev. You get your chance to bag us, I guess. Hey, mate, why is it that when Vickery can't get a game for Richmond, Richmond's got a strong team, but when Casbolt doesn't get a game for Carlton, that's a sign of weakness?
Well, because Tyrone Vickery couldn't get a game last year in the latter half of the season, so as a result, and couldn't get a game in the finals. Because he was outstripped by Ben Griffiths, came into the side, whereas Casbolt was in the best side for Carlton last year, and Tyrone Vickery wasn't for the Tigers. So he couldn't get a game with the Tigers again this year, and Casbolt, who was certainly, I would have thought, very promising. Are you surprised he's not playing, Joe?
Oh, look, I'm surprised, but it just must mean that we've got a good team in, mate.
Oh, well, is it just because you went out and recruited, Liam Jones that the Carlton hierarchy to...
Justification
that, we better play him in the opening game of the season. No good is going out and recruiting people and we find them running around on the reserves. What sort of look is that? So I just wonder whether Levi's missed out as far as that is concerned. What do you think, Joe?
No, Kev, Carlton's better than that. We're not playing politics here.
Not playing politics?
Got our best team in.
Got the best team in. Yeah. Okay, and what's the margin, Joe?
Carlton by 12.
By 12? 12 goals? Okay, well, I don't mind people having confidence. As a member, Joe, it'd be fantastic if we could win by 12 goals, but I got a feeling we're going to get whacked. We'll take a break. We're coming back with Greg Venom Denham.
It's round one. Everyone's excited. There's a lot of hype. It's always the same. It's the same for every footy club, so I guess you guys are going to beat it up like it's me versus my old side, but I've got a job to do for my new side now, so yeah, it should be a good challenge for us.
Internally, we're clearly moving forward over here with what we need to do with Josh and Lockie, but 98% of the football club are focused on preparing and performing on Saturday night.
Well, there was Dane Beams and Nathan Buckley, of course, Brisbane Lions taking on the Pies. Give us your thoughts on that one as well. But Dane Beams playing in his first game. They look pretty good to me, Brisbane. I think they'll beat Collingwood because Dane Beams, Alan Christensen will play. They'll have Leuenberger back. They'll have Rich back. Collingwood's looking a little bit wobbly to me at the moment.
Yeah, look, is it possible to be scarred by such a bad performance in a practice match? That's a question I'd like to know. I'm not sure. They haven't had certainly the best publicity all week leading into this game. But at the Gabba, I think Brisbane are going to win probably 10, 11, 12 games this year. So I think they'll start off the season well.
Jared joins us from Roxburgh Park. G'day, Jared.
Hi, Kev.
G'day.
G'day, mate.
Gary. It doesn't matter.
But Gary.
You're right, mate. About Tyrone Vickery, two parts. I would have played him. I would have put Benny Griffiths centre up back and dropped Bachelor. But Greg was just saying about, does he regret hitting Coxie? Of course he does. But they've forgiven Conker for whacking the little join last year, and that was 10 times worse. So what's the difference with Vickery and Conker? I'd be playing Vickery.
Well, the difference is that for whatever reason you want to name, though I think it was round 18 last year, we have not seen Vickery play a senior game since, as Kevin mentioned, in finals. So whether it's been a mental issue as well or just the fact that while he was out, others went better, he's missed a golden opportunity, Ty.
Well, he's got to work his way back into the Richmond side, and as a result, it's interesting, I noticed Caroline Wilson today is saying the heat's on Hardwick to deliver. Tigers start season with high hopes.
Well,
she's suggesting there's a bit of pressure on Damien Hardwick to deliver success this year to the Tigers.
Well,
made the finals the last 2 years.
But there's pressure on the both coaches, I reckon. Obviously, Mick, being in the last year of his contract at Carlton, wants to win everything and considers himself them a chance to win everything, by the way. But I think that pressure's on Mick and the pressure's on Damien, Dimmer Hardwick, to actually win a final. I mean, they've got to get there first, but to be blown away in two finals and not win one since 2001, I think there's massive pressure on Hardwick, even though he's contracted till the end of next year.
What do you think we're looking at tonight, Greg? 80,000?
Oh, if the weather holds up, 80, 85, I would have thought. I think they'll come in their droves. As you mentioned, Carlton's home game tonight. They keep the gate. They also provide the entertainment. I wouldn't be surprised. As I said, if the weather holds up okay, I reckon they're looking at 80, hoping for 85.
But, I'd like to ask the fans also on Ben McDevitt yesterday, the head of ASADA, spoke yesterday. What did you make of it? And do you think just listening to Ben McDevitt yesterday whether or not you get the feeling they will appeal the decision handed down by the AFL Tribunal. Give us your thoughts on that and his performance yesterday, 9-4-2-9, 11-16. I noticed today in the Age, a story by Samantha Lane and Richard Baker, that the Australian sports anti-doping boss Ben McDevitt has revealed his concern that crucial records of the Essendon supplements program may have been either destroyed or removed. And he says if evidence emerges of documents destruction in an attempt to cover up the use of banned substances, they warn of fresh show cause notices.
Well, I mean, he said yesterday an appeal is a very live option. So if you were sort of 50-50 earlier in the week whether they would appeal or not, I think you probably tend to think that they might. But it's obviously what they can uncover in the next 20 days. He was very strong, Ben McDevitt, again yesterday, hinting that he just can't believe that the documentation's disappeared, and was continue to be scathing, absolutely scathing on the Essendon process in 2012 with regard to their governance.
Just regarding the game tonight too, Greg, I forgot to mention that Mitch Robinson, and thanks for all the SMSs just reminding me that the wrecking ball is not playing for Carlton tonight as well, because the wrecking ball has gone to Brisbane. And as you know, Mitch Robinson always softened up quite a few Richmond players when they played. So no wrecking ball tonight. So that concerns me also as a member. Don't forget tonight from 6 o'clock, the best call of the Carlton versus Richmond game on 11-16 SEN. Anthony Hudson will be there. Matty Granlin will be there. Cam Mooney will be there. Nick Maxwell will be there. Mark Robinson and Rowan Connolly. John joins us in Altona Meadows. G'day, Johnny.
Morning, KB and Greg.
Good morning.
G'day, John.
I'm going to speak about what you just spoke about a little bit. There are reasons why Steve Banks and others haven't spoken up at this investigation. They've been paid off by the Essendon Football Club.
No, they haven't. They wouldn't have been paid off by the Essendon Football Club, Johnny.
They've been paid to keep their mouth shut. Secondly, the Commonwealth players have been set up by their own administration to take the fall for other players that are using illicit drugs.
Is this April Fool's Day or something? What's the date today?
No, that was
you should have rung yesterday, Johnny.
That was yesterday. No way knowing, Johnny, that Essendon Football Club is doing anything to pay off Stephen Dank or any of those other people. Now, you're way, way off the track there, Johnny, but it's interesting. I thought I gleaned from Ben McDevitt yesterday that maybe, you know, they'll have to go to another panel, because he seemed to think that they had enough circumstantial evidence there and paper trails and, you know, emails and all that sort of stuff and interviews to have their case stand up. Now, obviously, it didn't stand up, and it did make the comment that, you know, this happens all the time in, you know, courts of law, that where you have an appeal and a different group of people look upon it differently and come back with a different decision than what, you know, the first group who actually looked at it. So I actually gleaned that maybe they're looking forward to going to an appeal. More so than not, it seemed to be a little bit of a resolve in his voice to me that maybe he'd like to take it a little bit further. This is what Brendan Goddard was on the Footy Show last night and asked his opinion on the AFL drugs policy.
As role models, we don't deserve a second chance. If they want to put themselves at risk, they put a footy club at risk, and they put their teammates at risk. They're being quite selfish in doing that. So I think some changes need to be made. I'm not sure if it's one strike. It might be one strike with a sanction involved with that, which has evolved around some counselling, some help with it. Because there are some guys that do have issues. We've seen past players now, and obviously Ben Cousins is the obvious one. But there are guys which may have some issues. So they need some help in it. Don't be naive and say, well, AFL footballers are bulletproof and we can deal with every circumstance. We don't need help.
Well said by Brendan Goddard, no second chance. And I've said for a while, Greg, that we should have a zero policy, zero strike policy for AFL footballers. The only little leeway I would have is for young players being drafted and maybe with peer pressure may find themselves in trouble, and therefore they would get one strike. But after that, and then, of course, after your first year of AFL football, there's zero strike. So if you've played a season of AFL football, it's zero strike. And if zero tolerance, and if in fact you're a brand new recruit and you've been drafted like a young kid from here and shipped across the country, then, you know, we'll give you the opportunity of having one strike.
I think the only problem was that when we initially tested for the illicit drugs policy before, it was actually made a policy by the AFL, and they got their figures that weren't made. Actually, I think they might have been made public, some of them, but I would have thought that there would be sort of without a couple of teams under the initial testing when there was a hell of a lot of positive tests. That's why I think they framed this policy of not naming and shaming, because it would have been totally embarrassing, and we would have rubbed out, on your theory of one strike and you're out, we would have rubbed out a hell of a lot of players. And I think that that's the one thing they didn't want to do.
But you're not giving enough credit to the fact, Greg, that if the first person had been rubbed out, you may not have had, what are you talking about, 32, did you say 32?
No. Just many players.
Okay. Well, after the first one was rubbed out...
This is going Greg, back to early 2000s.
My thinking on that, Greg, is after the first one was rubbed out, then the others may not have followed. Because there's a general feeling now, Greg, that the three-strike policy made the players feel bulletproof, because as we know,
no doubt,
virtually impossible.
I don't disagree with
to be
you.
Given three strikes.
I don't disagree with
so
you.
So if you rub the first one out, then I don't know whether the others would follow.
I don't disagree with you, but I'm just saying, I think this is why, one of the main reasons, and don't forget it's a voluntary thing that the players can opt out and the whole policy falls over. But what I'm saying is that
there should be zero.
Well, what I'm saying is I think that's why the three strikes policy was introduced, because it was so vast in the initial stages of testing that we wouldn't have had enough players to field teams on the weekend.
We'll take a break. We're coming back. Sports Central, 9429-1116. What's on your mind in sport? Got the opening of the season tonight. Also, I've got all the big games on the weekend. We'll go through those games as well. Some big games coming up, of course. Got Melbourne versus Gold Coast, Sydney versus Essendon. We've got the Brisbane-Collingwood game. The Bulldogs against the Eagles. St Kilda versus the Giants. Adelaide versus North. Frio versus Port. And Hawthorn versus Geelong. If you think your side can win, tell us why. And Greg, of course, is always at the heart of the action, always down there in Tigerland, 372 Bridge Road in Richmond. It's on the corner of Coppin Street. And to celebrate the start of the new season, the Spread Eagle is putting on free beer tonight if Richmond defeats Carlton at the MCG. That's right, a free barrel after the Tigers win. So you can guarantee if they win, Greg will be there first in the line. That's Real Richmond Hospitality. Drop in or call the Spread Eagle Hotel, 9428 6895.
Starting off the season, you know, really consistently. We're up and down too much last year, some good patches and some bad patches within games, as well as runs of weeks. A consistent brand of football for 120 minutes, and if it's good enough to win, we'll win. If it's not, yeah, well, then we're going to do a better job the following week.
I think an exciting thing for us, there's a lot of improvement left in us. You know, we're still really young, so you know, I think we'll be up and down for a while, but I've got no doubt longer term is exciting.
First round is full of interest. There's Paul Roos and Rodney Eade, both former Sydney Swans coaches, up against each other. Paul at Melbourne and Rodney Eade, first time at Gold Coast. Melbourne looked so poor in that last practice game against
the Bombers. Don't worry about practice games.
And the Gold Coast, of course, have got a number of injuries as well, with Lynch being out, being suspended, and Charlie Dixon. Looks like Gary Ablett is going to play, which you did tell us last week, Greg, that you thought he was still fit enough to go.
What do you reckon the main focus on will be here? Will it be the first up appearance of Jesse Hogan or Ablett's comeback? Now, no one ever overshadows Ablett, do they? But will the performance first up of this kid take the glory this week?
Well, I'm certain all Melbourne fans are looking forward to seeing Jesse Hogan play, because Melbourne needs a boost. And as I said, their performance in the last practice game, Greg, even though you take no notice of it whatsoever, was pretty ordinary. It was a dress rehearsal for the start of the season, because most people seem to think that Melbourne had maybe a bit of a chance this year to improve. And Dawes is not playing in the opening game
as well. No, he's suspended. Did you see them play Frio over at Fremantle Oval? I mean, don't just pick one practice game or even put great emphasis on the pre-season.
We'll be there for this game. It's starting at 1 p.m. Matty G and yours truly will be there. Scotty Lucas, Nick Maxwell, and of course Brett Thomas straight after crunch time, which is back from 11 with Hutto, Derm, Mark Robinson, and David King joins the team for 2015. Dennis joins us in Oakley. G'day, Dennis.
Good morning, Kev. Morning, Greg.
G'day, Dennis.
Boys, just want to talk to you about Dean Robinson and his narrative, which essentially was that Jimmy Hurd ran the program at Essendon. Nothing happened at Essendon, according to Dean Robinson, that James Hurd did not know about and oversee. The James Hurd narrative was, wait a minute, I knew about it, but it wasn't my department. It was run and overseen by other people. It was their responsibility. We've just had, and the players have had, 5 days of ASADA evidence about what exactly was going on at their club. The players now know the truth of these narratives.
Well, actually, no, they don't. The players don't know, and we don't know, Dennis, what the players were given. And I think that's of major concern when you're wrapping up what's happened over the last 26 months, there's still a major concern that, as even I think going back a year, young Danaher's father, Anthony, a former star, said, they've got it down to 2% of injection of stuff that we don't know what's in their bodies. We've got Craig Kelly now coming out saying he's got major concerns over his players. And what do you think Patrick Ryder left the Bombers? For one reason, that the lack of governance, and he's also, him and his family aren't sure what he was given during that period. Sorry to butt in, but I just had to explain that to you.
That's not exactly what I was driving at. What I'm actually driving at, who was responsible for it? The narrative from Dean Robinson was that Jimmy Hird was. Jimmy Hird's narrative is, no, I wasn't. The players have had a lot of evidence from Asada now, which will fill in a lot of gaps for the players. They will now know who was responsible for the fact that they do not know what happened to their bodies. Who is responsible for that? Hird said, not me.
Yeah, well, I mean, he said that pretty much all along, which is unfortunate, and continued that stance on the 31st of March, which I thought was inexplicable for him to say that. But I don't actually know that if anyone has pinpointed who was actually responsible, because of the fact that people have gone, there's no records being kept, the heads have already rolled. One thing we know is that Hird should have been responsible, and the blame has been shared, rightly or wrongly, amongst several people.
Just on that, I'd like to hear from the fans, Sydney versus Essendon. What chance has Essendon got of beating the Sydney Swans? We did see yesterday a mock team put in the paper, maybe up to 13 players who haven't played a practice game, taking on the Sydney Swans. Now, some people suggest that it will galvanise the players and they might be, you know, so full of adrenaline and, you know, together and rush out on the field and just play out of their skins, even though they haven't had any hard practice games, and bowl over the Sydney Swans. Is that the general feeling out there, Greg? I mean, I find it hard to believe that, you know, at this stage, if they haven't played practice games together, and we just go on what the coaches tell us, that you've got to play all these practice games to be, you know, competitive, be stupid going into a season without, you know, practice games. Most, three quarters of the side will go in without having any practice matches. So what do we expect from the Bombers? Do Essendon fans think they can pull off the miracle and win?
Well, that's the unknown, I guess. The stress and the strain of the players after all this time will probably... That is the unknown. But any club that's playing Sydney pretty much this weekend would be under the gun, you would have thought, because Sydney, as we know, are one of the greatest clubs in the competition. The funny thing is, though, last year we all wrote them off after round one, and they were one win from their first four rounds. They got absolutely stitched up by.
So does that give the Bombers a chance at the Giants?
No, it doesn't, because they got. I think they learnt their lesson. They took it easy in the pre-season. They were behind the eight ball, and they got stitched up embarrassingly by GWS. John Longmire. There's been a plan up there this year where they started doing things a month earlier this time than they did last year to have everyone pretty well fit.
Well, Brett Phillips and Nathan Thompson will be calling all the action on that game, Sydney versus the Bombers. It's from ANZ Stadium. It's on Saturday afternoon. Starts at 4:30 right here on 1116 SEN. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll have a look at the other games. Plus 9429 1116 is the famous talkback number.
It's been a long pre-season for all, and I think most of the players have been ready for the last two or three weeks. So can't come quick enough. And personally, yeah, I'm probably more enthusiastic and excited than nervous. I'm probably not really a nervous person. So, can't wait to till Saturday night.
We're not built around one player, and you know, it doesn't worry me at all what people think of us and where we may or may not finish. All we're worried about at the moment is round one.
Well, there's Luke Beveridge and, of course, Adam Simpson, the Western Bulldogs, and West Coast. I'm looking forward to this game, the Bulldogs taking on the West Coast. It's on Saturday, of course, at 7 o'clock. You hear it right here. Rob Waters and Julian DeStoop. Scotty Lucas will be there as well. I'm looking forward to the Bulldogs because, you know what, Greg? I was very excited about their performance.
Oh, you're
and I know you were not excited by their performance.
I know, but I like the way they played,
and I think they're going to be the shock of the round.
You just wait
and they'll beat the West Coast Eagles.
Oh, turn it up. You are kidding.
It's here, Greg. It's in
Melbourne. I know it's here, Kevin. West Coast got a pretty good record at Etihad Stadium. You think the Bulldogs will beat West Coast?
I do. I really do. I
have
think
you
the way
them?
They yes, of course.
Well, you're going to start behind the eight ball again.
I think the way like they played year. The other day against Collingwood and the improvement of their players and the style of play they were playing.
Okay.
I think they can beat West Coast. West Coast, maybe Greg. I've been a bit of a West Coast fan for the last couple of years. I keep pumping up the West Coast, but maybe they're overrated, Greg. Maybe they are just an overrated football club.
They're not
anywhere near as good as what I thought they were or what you think they are or other people think they are.
I haven't got them in the eight. I'm not overrating them. But if you're comparing the Western Bulldogs to West Coast, there's no comparison.
Well, I think there is now. I think is. And what
On a practice match.
Well, and don't forget, a new coach has come in.
Yep.
So, therefore, and there were some players, Greg. Sometimes players improve under different coaches.
I understand that.
And I think we saw the improvement in those players and the gelling together and the way that they played. It was, well, Greg, if you weren't impressed with them, well, you've got no idea. Rob is in Preston. G'day, Rob.
G'day, Kevin. Look, I just wanted to comment on the journalists, I suppose, that have got sour grapes because of what happened with Jimmy Hurd. And, I mean, even before Greg said that... no one knows who's responsible. There's clearly one person who's responsible, and that's Stephen Dank, who's taken the documentation, who's given them the supplements. And the CEO and the operations officer have also fell on this sword because of not overseeing that, because they're the ones that would be responsible for looking over the, you know, the contracts and whether things were given or not. Jimmy Hurd was coaching the team.
Well, Hurd admitted by his own admittance, that's why he got 12 months out of the game, that he didn't live up to that responsibility that he should have as senior coach when he first found out about that program. So, I mean, I don't know what you're on about. I mean, he accepted that. That was part of the 12-month penalty. He agreed with the AFL that he was at fault.
But hasn't he retracted that since Justice Middleton?
Kevin, there's been that many retractions and et cetera, since then that I can't keep up. He was under... duress.
It was under duress, you said.
Et cetera,
et cetera. From the club and the AFL at that stage.
Give us a break.
Thanks for your call. Cam's from Donvale. G'day, Cam.
G'day, Kevin. How are you going?
Going great. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. I had my father announce to me yesterday that he's walking from Croydon to Jeff's shed collecting money in a wheelbarrow for the Good Friday appeal.
Yes.
And I thought I'd better get on the front foot and do some PR for him.
Well, there'll be a lot of that. We get so many helpers, don't we? And volunteers who shake tins and, you know, they walk and they collect money along the way. And I'm certain that your father and family member will get the support from the community as we do every year. So good on him for doing that. That's quite a walk from, is it from Donvale, did you say, to the city?
No, he's from Croydon.
Oh, Croydon.
And he'll be leaving there about 8 o'clock. So if anyone's en route, sort of Long Moon to Highway,
they'll see him. They'll see him.
Keep an eye out for a bald bloke. Newton Reynolds is his name.
Well, I reckon he'll have a lot of supporters along the way. So good on him, Cam, and well done for that. And what we do know is so many people work so hard for that Good Friday Royal Children's Hospital appeal. Greg, St Kilda versus the Giants. Some people are suggesting maybe the Saints won't win a game this year.
I think that's a pretty narrow view, Kevin.
You only
have to go back to last year where they had that big win over Fremantle to know that, you know, upsets.
If that game
upsets
had been played in India, Greg, there would have been an inquiry, a betting scandal inquiry. No one knows how St Kilda beat Frio last year. No one knows that.
Who's the last team to go through without a win?
Fitzroy.
What year?
Would have been. I reckon Fitzroy fans would tell us, but I reckon it was around about 1962.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, everyone said that about Gold Coast first up. Everyone said that about GWS in their first season. Really, rarely happens. And I think St Kilda will get better as the season gets longer. They'll win two or three or four games. There's no doubt about
Giants will beat St Kilda in the opening game. Happy with that?
Probably. I'm not like you. I'm going to actually wait for the teams to have a look at who's in and who's out today.
Andy Maher, Nathan Thompson, Scotty Lucas and Rowan Connolly will bring you that game on 11:16 SEN. 1964 it was. Thank you for that, coming off the SMSs when they last time. 18 losses, no wins in 1964. So I knew it was in the early part of the 60s. Adelaide is from is taking on North Melbourne. Now, Greg, a lot of SMSs are saying this is the game of the round. I'm only tipping Adelaide because it's in Adelaide, because both these sides, you would think, are going to play a big hand in playing finals.
It is certainly going to be one of the games of the round. Really looking forward to the new coach at Adelaide to see how they respond under him. And, of course, North Melbourne, a lot of pressure on them too to go even higher than last year.
Jared Waite comes into the side.
Yep, yep.
Sean Higgins will come into their side.
Yep, yep. Obviously, you're taking the rest of the weekend off. I'm going to be here tomorrow, so I'll talk about that more when I actually look at the teams and see who's in and who's out, because we were surprised by the selection.
I want your selection now, Greg. Adelaide versus North Melbourne. Who's going to win that game?
I will give it to you tomorrow after I look at
the
teams.
Sit on the fence. That's all you do. And don't forget to celebrate the start of the new season. The Spread Eagle is putting on a free beer tonight, free barrel of beer tonight, if Richmond defeats Carlton at the MCG. That's right, a free barrel after the Tigers win for Real Richmond Hospitality. Drop in and call the Spread Eagle Hotel on 94286895. And, of course, down there right in the heart of Tigerland. Fremantle versus Port Adelaide. Tipping Port Adelaide to beat the Dockers. Again, Greg, I think Port Adelaide's run-and-gun style of play we saw last year, very, very impressive. They've played well over there. I think the ground will suit them. Not quite certain whether Frio got a few question marks over the fitness of some of their players as well.
I think the same with Port Adelaide.
Wingard's going to be played. They said that yesterday, so he's fit and ready to play. Of course, they've got Paddy Ryder and Monfrey's now playing, so I'm tipping Port Adelaide.
Yeah, no, that's going to be a really good game. What we haven't talked about is we talked about Essendon playing Sydney this weekend. We will know partly at the end of the weekend whether what the significance of the Paddy Ryder loss to Essendon is. It's something that hasn't really been discussed. It's going to be a huge boost for Port, and I think a very significant loss for the Bombers.
So Freo versus Port?
Oh, I'll tell you, as I said, I'll be explaining my tips tomorrow, Kevin. The teams, no one's got official team lists
you
yet.
You know what the teams are,
you're
Greg.
Working in the dark, as you normally do.
You know what the teams are, Greg. There might be an odd change there or two, but you know basically, Kevin, what their sides are. You've seen them play over the pre-season. Hawthorn versus the Cats.
Great game.
Should be a great game. Not much between these two sides whenever they play each other. I'm tipping Hawthorn. Any side that's going for a three-peat. That'll be pretty
You've
hard
tipped
to beat.
Richmond tonight by 102 points. I suggest they may as well spear that keg now down at the Spready.
Okay, Greg, I won't be here tomorrow. It's Good Friday tomorrow, but you're going to join Brett Phillips tomorrow and you'll get off the fence and take all those
I'll work with
out
a professional. I actually will work with honestly, a professional.
You are as weak as the proverbial.